This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Brothers, sisters, esteemed scholars, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Alhamdulillah, we are at the threshold of the holy month of Ramadan. It is the month of Rahmah, the month of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rahmah descends, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion descends. It is that month where the actions are multiplied. And many, many times they are multiplied. And I want to speak about how we perceive this month, how we deal with this month. It's very important that how we focus on this month. See, often what you hear, and it's natural to a certain degree, is, oh, the month of Ramadan is here. And even if you don't say it, there's people who have that kind of mentality, oh, the month of Ramadan is here, and 18-hour fasts, they're long fasts, you know, it's going to be difficult. That should not be the approach to this blessed month. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to reach this month again, that we reap the rewards of this month. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. How can you help Allah? You can't help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, if you act upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help will be with you. Allah's help will be with you. If you have a positive impression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will be with you. Throughout history, many of the greatest incidents or events of Islam took place in the month of Ramadan. Battle of Badr. The greatest battle, you could say, which ever took place in the history of Islam, took place in the month of Ramadan. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, who are the best of your companions? He said, "Alladhina shahidu badran." Those who participated in the battle of Badr. He said, similarly, those angels who descended and helped on the day of Badr were the best of all the angels. Badr took place in the month of Ramadan. You know, when they speak about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, often after the name they have Badri, because they have a special status in Islam. Conquest of Makkah took place in the month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, can you imagine this? That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are now coming back. They are conquering Makkah, the birthplace of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did it take place? They didn't say, look, let's delay it for after the month of Ramadan. No, it took place in the month of Ramadan. The conquest of Spain, Andalus, took place in the month of Ramadan, 711-92 Hijrah. The conquest of Andalus. You know how long Muslims stayed in Andalus all together? 903 years until 1614, until they expelled the Moriscos. 903 years. You know, Tariq bin Ziyad, they started on the 28th of Ramadan. They fought through Eid for 8 days. And the time came that Andalus became the most powerful place on the face of this earth. When did it take place? It took place in the month of Ramadan. The Battle of Hittin, Salah ad-Din, when he demolished the Crusaders, month of Ramadan. Ainul Jalut. The battle against the Mongols. You know, the second largest recorded empire ever in the history of humanity is the Mongols. The only empire which is recorded in the history which is larger than the Mongol Empire is the British Empire. Mubarak to you all. This is the second largest. They reached Russia, they reached Bulgaria, they had destroyed the Khwarizm dynasty and the Abbasid dynasty. When they went into Baghdad, the last caliph of the Abbasid, they were the ones who killed him. When they went into Baghdad, historians mention they killed approximately 800,000 Muslims. The two strongest dynasties of the Muslims, they destroyed. You had the Muwahidun in Spain and Northern Africa who had just fragmented at the time. Really, there was only one dynasty left. One, you could say, caliphate left. And that was in Egypt. If they took Egypt, they would have gone straight through the entirety of North Africa. And it's amazing how Allah uses people. You know who these people in Egypt were? They were the Mamluks. You know what Mamluks were? Mamluks are actually slaves. They were people who were slaves and then they took over Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the Mongols. You know what the Muslims would say regarding the Mongols? They had become so disheartened, they would say, إِنْ قِيلَ لَكْ إِنَّ تَطَّارَكَ مِنْ حَزَمُ فَلَا تُصَدِّقْ. If anybody says to you that the Mongols have been defeated, don't believe them. The Mongols are invincible. And in the month of Ramadan, in Ain al-Jalut, which is the fountain of Goliath, Saif ad-Din Quds annihilated the Mongols. And wallahi, there are many other incidents which happen in the month of Ramadan. The help of Allah descends in the month of Ramadan. But there is a condition here. The condition is, what is your approach to Ramadan? How do you perceive Ramadan? Is it, yaar, another whole month I need to fast? You know, wallahi, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the miracle of this deen. You tell me any other ideology, any other philosophy, which can make 100,000 people fast for one day. Give me any other ideology. Give me any philosophy. The barakah of this deen is what? That it stops 1/6 of the entire population on this earth from eating, drinking, and having a relationship with their partners, not for one day, for an entire month. This is a miracle of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, sisters, we're all going to fast. But let's change our perception how we welcome this month. Let's be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a month where the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every single action is for Ibn Adam illa sawm. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَعَنَا أُجْزِبِهِ. That every action that Ibn Adam does is for him besides fasting. As for fasting, he does it solely for my sake and I am the one who rewards him. Generally the actions are 10 to 700 besides fasting. Here Allah says, I will give him as much as I wish. There is no cap. There is no limit on fasting. So this month, you know, we should be happy that Allah has given this this month. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith Qudsi, and this is a general principle, remember this in your life. Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I will deal with my servant how he perceives me to be. If he has a positive perception of me, that's how I will deal with him. And if he has a negative perception of me, that's how I will deal with him. So this month is here Thank Allah. Allah has granted you this month and welcome it. Get ready for this month. Be happy with this month. Regard it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get ready to fast in this month like you've never fasted before. You've heard the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray your salah like it is your farewell salah. Make this Ramadan your farewell Ramadan. Make it such that there is no other Ramadan after it. Get ready for this Ramadan. Be happy with this Ramadan. Because the way you will perceive Allah is that's the way Allah will deal with you. If you think good of Allah, that's how Allah will deal with you. And if you are negative in your perception about this deen, then that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you. So be ready for this Ramadan. Let me give you an example. You know the battle of Ahzab, the battle of the Confederates. This was a battle where all the enemies of Islam gathered against the Muslims. And they marched upon Medina. There was approximately 11,000 of them. The Muslims were 3,000. 1,000 of them were munafiqeen. The mushrikeen said, final battle. After this battle, there will be no battle. After this battle, the Muslims will be finished. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dug a trench. And whilst they were digging this trench, there was this boulder. So the Sahaba came to the Messenger of Allah and they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we're hungry. We haven't eaten for 3 days. It was midwinter, there was a famine going on. And they removed their garments. And they had a stone tied to their stomachs. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed his garment. And he had 2 stones tied to his Mubarak stomach. And then they said, oh Messenger of Allah, there's a big rock, we can't break it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves. He takes an axe and he strikes the rock. And a third of it breaks. And it's a huge spark. And the Messenger of Allah said, Allahu Akbar. And then he struck it the second time. And there's a huge spark. And he says, Allahu Akbar. And then he strikes it a third time and there's a huge spark. And he says, Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba say, oh Messenger of Allah, what was all that Allahu Akbar about? What was that spark? The Messenger of Allah said, when I struck it the first time, Allah showed me through that spark that a day would come that we would take the palaces of Yemen. When I struck it the second time, Allah showed me through that spark that a day would come that we would take the Byzantine palaces in Sham. And when I struck it the third time, Allah showed me a day would come that we would take the White House of the superpower of the time, the Persians. And the munafiqeen began to say, look at this man, he's promising them that they will become a superpower. And one of us is scared to go and relieve himself. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws parables between the munafiqeen and the believers. So they're looking at the enemy. Listen to this carefully. They're both looking at the enemy and they see the enemy across the trenches. So Allah recalls the munafiqeen. He says, إِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قَلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He says, the munafiqeen and those who have sicknesses in their heart, their iman is sometimes over there, their iman is over here, they're not solid on their belief. When they saw the enemy, they said, what Allah and His Rasul just promised us that we would become a superpower, it's just a deception. It's just a lie. Then Allah recalls the state of the believers. He said, وَلَمَّا رَعَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, when the believers saw the enemies, they said, this is what Allah and His Rasul promised us. This is what Allah and His Rasul promised us, and Allah and His Rasul have spoken the truth. Now look at this. They're both looking at exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. But there's a difference. There's one people of Iman, and there's one people who are munafiqs, whose hearts are sick. Brothers, sisters, there's no munafiqun here, and there's no, inshallah, weak believers here. But this month of Ramadan, how do you perceive it? How do you welcome it? Be happy with this month. Because, you know, we live in a time, social media, you will get all types of fatwas. You know, 18 hours. 18 hours fast, wallahi, with the comforts that we have, you know, it's not a difficult fast. Alhamdulillah. It's not a difficult fast at all. Unless there is a problem with the state of your iman, there is not a difficult fast. But you will get fatwa. 18, you're going to fast 18 hours? You know, let's find some, let's follow Saudi. We follow them in Eid, let's follow them now. You know, shorten it, it's too long. Let me take you back to 1961, Tunisia. Abu Ruqayba, Burruqayba was the president of Tunisia. He said that fasting makes the body weak and it lessens the productivity in our country. So we should ban fasting. Muslim country, Tunisia, we should ban fasting. And he went to the Mufti, Sheikh Tahir bin Ashur, the famous Mufassir and the Faqih, and he was the Mufti of Tunisia. So he said to Tahir bin Ashur, rahimahullah, he said, we need a fatwa because you are the big Mufti of Tunisia, that fasting should be banned in the month of Ramadan. Sheikh Tahir bin Ashur came on TV in 1961. He sat on the chair. And he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. He said, Allah says in the Quran, oh, you believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, like it was prescribed upon those who came before you. And the purpose of this fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you become people of taqwa. He said, صَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَكَذَبَ أَبُو الرُّقَيْبَةِ. He said, Allah has spoken the truth, and our prime minister, our president, has told a lie. He removed Sheikh Tahir bin Ashur, rahimahullah, from his post as the Mufti. He came on TV with a glass of water in his hand in Ramadan and he drank it. And anybody who worked for the government, if they fasted, they lost their job or they didn't get paid. But many of them remained upon their what they believed. Because this is the miracle, wallahi, of this deen. I swear, the day you water it down, the day you will lose the spirit of this deen. 1/6 of the entire population, 1 in every 6 people on the face of this earth fast. Because this deen has a spirit. This deen has a spirit. So we are coming close to the month of Ramadan. Make sure that you make this fasting your final fast. Make sure you last the entire course. Okay? The entire course. Firstly, I'm going to briefly mention upon the types of fasting Imam Ghazali says. Imam Ghazali says there's 3 types of fasting. I'll just touch on 2. One is your normal fasting. You don't eat, you don't drink, and you don't have a relationship with your wife. He said that's minimal fast. That is the lowest form of fasting. Then there's a special fasting, where you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't have a relationship with your spouse, but your tongue fasts, your eyes fast, your ears fast, your hands fast, that you don't do anything haram with these things, that your entire body is in the state of fasting. Why? Because the month of Ramadan is to train you. That's why the month of Ramadan is here. It's to train a believer. This month is a training for the rest of the year, that you prepare yourself in this month. That your hands fast, that your eyes fast, that your tongue fasts. Why? Because see, there will be a day when you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you haven't trained your hands to fast, your ears to fast, your eyes to fast, then Allah will put a seal upon your mouth. And then, you know, these hands which we hadn't trained, these feet which we hadn't trained, ran towards haram, performed haram, eyes performed haram, ears performed haram. On that day, they will give a witness against you and an eye. So it's important that we train them and that we last the entire course of the month of Ramadan. Why lie the... Why? Look, where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Laylatul Qadr? Where? At the end, inshallah. Why didn't Allah put it at the beginning of Ramadan? Why not put it the first 5 days? Because everybody would have got Laylatul Qadr then. The masjids are full. But Allah put it right at the end of the month. The reason for this is why? Because Allah wants you to spiritually build up right to the end of the month of Ramadan. That you fast like it's your final fast. You build up to Laylatul Qadr. Otherwise Allah could have put it right at the beginning. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to spiritually develop. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed Laylatul Qadr in the last days of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spiritually developed the Sahaba right to the end. The narrations mention in the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would wake up the entire family to pray tahajjud. The narrations mention that he would tie his izar. Tying izar is a metaphor from like rolling up your sleeves to get busy. His worship would increase in the final days in the month of Ramadan. What happens generally with us, yeah, first day, Taraweeh, Allahu Akbar. You realize, one and a half hour the imam prayed. Second day you kind of crawl to the masjid. Third day you're gone. Third day Hazrat is where? You know why? Because Hazrat, mashallah, at iftar time, Hazrat had such a big plate of food. You know, the entire year you eat, brothers and sisters, entire year. This is 1 month where you empty your stomach and you fill your heart. Not you and I. We empty our stomach during the day and then we make up at iftar time. The women, the whole day they spend cooking. Yeah, you can't get spiritually strong standing on the stove. It doesn't happen that way. Give them time to read Quran. Have one dish. If you got children who are fasting, yeah, then have some special dishes for them. But for you and I, have one dish. Imam Ghazali says, one of the special fasts is this, is that you don't overeat in this month. You feel the spirituality. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimullah said, he said, have you ever seen a pious person who eats to his fill? He said, never. Never have I seen a person who is of high piety that he eats to his full. Now this is the month. This is the month that we prepare. Read some Quran. Listen, I've got 1 hour, 1 minute, 50 seconds. Listen. You know this? Put it away in the month of Ramadan. Only use it as much as you need to use it. You know, research has showed people spend more time, generally in the West, 117 minutes on their smartphones, 97 minutes with their wife. Many wives or many husbands wish they were a smartphone. Many children wish they were a smartphone. Put this aside. You know why? Because this breaks your relationship with your spouse, with your children, and with your creator. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, "Idha'atul waqt a'zamu min al-maut." Wasting time is greater than death. It's worse than death. They said, how is that possible? He said, when you die, your connection with the dunya breaks. When you waste time, your connection with Allah breaks. Your connection with Allah. So put this away. You waste too much time on this. Read Quran. Why is it? Why 30 seconds? Why is it that we hear Imam Shafi read 2 Qurans every single day, finished 60 in the end of the month? And we find this strange. So many of the Salaf could do this. Why can't you and I do it? You know why? We read a quarter of Juz and we get tired and now we want to go on our WhatsApp. You know what the difference is? Me and you can work 14, 16 hours if we believe that the money is going to come in. We will work 16 hours, but we can't read the Juz of the Quran. What a Salaf, they could. Why? Because they believe that the rewards were rolling in. We believe that if the notes are rolling in, we'll do it 16 hours a day. And that's the difference. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our state by the time the month is finished better than when it started. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.